No dejaremos que cierren la linda puerta que siempre ha estado abierta a la vida.
And we're talking to Helen Hill. I was wondering, Helen, there have been sort of various opinions on José Ramos Horta, the president's choice of prime minister, Xanana Guzmán. Do you think he made the wise choice, or was it a forced choice?
Well, I think there are two ways of looking at this. One is from the purely legalistic point of view. It's probably true that Fretilin, as the most voted for party, should have been offered the first opportunity to form a government. But once they had already tested the state of the parliament with the election of the president, and Fernando Araújo defeated Aniceto Gutiérrez of Fretilin, it was clear that if Fretilin was to... Fretilin wouldn't have the numbers in the parliament. Now, Horta himself, I know, favoured a third alternative, which was to have an independent prime minister, and he's even mentioned that that would have been Rui Araújo, the independent, who was previously the minister for health. And he did put this to both Fretilin and to the CNRT. Now, as I understand it, Fretilin was favourable towards this alternative, but Xanana Guzmán wasn't. So there was more or less a deadlock, and Horta did probably the only thing that was open, which was to appoint Xanana Guzmán as the Prime Minister.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's a lot of violence erupted in protest. A lot of the Australian press seems to think the Fretilin General Secretary, Mario Alcatiri, should bear some of the responsibility for this. Do you think that's fair?
Look, I think there is a big problem that Fretilin and even other parties have with many of their supporters in the rural areas, who see competitive party politics as almost equivalent to a war. And this is partly because of the lack of proper civic education. The other point that needs to be made is that a lot of this violence really only took place in Baucau and Vekeke. Now, Vekeke, Watalari area, is an area where there's been political violence for, some would say, hundreds of years, and certainly since the 1950s. So that it's not, I think one can't put the blame precisely on one particular group of parties. I think what Fretilin did that may have encouraged some of this was to point out the legal situation, which is probably true that the appointment may have been, from a legalistic point of view, unconstitutional, but from a political point of view, it was almost the only thing that was workable. And Fretilin did later go out and try to calm down its supporters and say only use non-violent actions. And I did hear from someone in Los Palos that there were huge demonstrations, but that they were all non-violent. So that I think because Fretilin does include a large number of rural people and people from different levels of society, more so than some of the other parties, it's far more difficult, I think, for Fretilin to control its supporters, even though in many senses they are disciplined, because they are coming from varied backgrounds. I think it is quite difficult for Fretilin to control its supporters, and maybe they were a bit slow in getting to the mark in trying to do so.
But since they've done that, it has been to some effect.
Oh, yes. Well, Fretilin has since entered the parliament, and speeches have been made, so that I think that while maintaining this argument about unconstitutionality, they are saying they will now work in the parliament. And I think they probably always intended to do this, but just wanted to make a symbolic point that they didn't like what was going on.
And speaking of the parliament, Helen, I understand they've appointed their council of ministers.
Yes, well, in the
Timorese type semi-presidential system, the Council of Ministers is a totally separate body from the Parliament. In fact, if to be a minister, you can't be a member of Parliament, and if you're in the Parliament, you then come out of it. So Shinana has, in fact, announced the Council of Ministers last week. And it's interesting that quite a few of the ministers are from PSD, and quite a few, several of the ministers are independent people with technical expertise. In particular, you've got Juan Cancio Freitas as Minister for Education. Nelson Martins is Minister for Health. And there are, but there is a little bit of controversy over the appointment of the Council of Ministers. And this has largely come about because PD, which is
the
Partido Democratico, the party largely made up of young people who studied in Indonesia, is feeling very underrepresented in the Council of Ministers. Mario Sabino has been appointed as the Minister for Agriculture, but he is in some doubt as to whether he's going to accept his position, or he was last week, so that and there are other senior PD people who clearly would have made good ministers who haven't been appointed. So that I think this is causing a little bit of ruction within the AMP, the Coalition of the Majority Party.
That's Guzman's alliance.
That's right, yep. Yes.
So do you think this bodes well for the future of the alliance?
Look, it's quite hard to tell, really, but in the long run, it doesn't matter, I think. If it makes the a lineup of parties within the Parliament a little bit more fluid, I think it means that probably better policy is going to be got through in the long run, because I know that Fretland has the idea that because of their experience, they can probably get up quite a few of their policies from the opposition while making coalitions with different other parties on different issues. And I think that if there was, you know, discussion between Fretland and PD, that this may not be a bad thing, and that in fact some good policies could come up, and that it would be better for the general state of the Parliament. I think in this particular government, the Parliament is going to play a much more significant role than it did in the previous government. In the previous government, because of Fretland's overwhelming majority, you tended to have executive government and the Parliament being not that active. I think this will be a very different situation, and hopefully, because all parties have some good people in the Parliament, I think you're going to be able to have a lot more legislative activism.
Yeah, that's interesting. It sounds like it could be a flexible parliament. I know some commentators were a bit concerned that some of the better policies, and that includes Professor Damien Kingsbury, that Fretland actually had quite good policies, particularly about the use of the oil fund. So does this mean that there is a chance that some of the policies of Fretland could be accepted?
Yes, I think the oil fund is a good example, because the oil fund was sadly not well understood by many of the commentators. The purpose of the oil fund is for long-term investment in transforming the infrastructure of East Timor that will benefit all generations. Because the oil money has been generated from non-renewable resources, the philosophy of the Petroleum Fund is that it gets spent in a way which will benefit future generations as well as the present generation. So that Shinana's sort of populist view of using it to hand out cash, I think, while maybe it's attractive to some people, when they think about it, they'll realise that this isn't going to actually lead to development. and that there's far more thought has to go into using that money to build the Timorese institutions. I might add, including building the financial institutions so that every Timorese can afford to have a bank account and can begin to save money, you know, which they earn themselves. There's no point in giving out cash to people who don't have a bank account and who are not actually using that money to save and invest in their own housing and their own businesses.
And finally, Helen, there was some concern too that the new government would not be very happy about the, would in fact maybe close down some of the projects that the Cuban government has afforded to East Timor. I know the doctors there have a brilliant reputation. I think there's nearly 600 of them, and they've also embarked on a literacy campaign. And I understand you were involved. I mean, what is happening there?
Yes, look, the day before the election, almost 2 days before the election, it was a new stage of an anti-illiteracy campaign was launched with the assistance of some Cuban adult educators. Now, José Ramos Horta was there at the launch, and he specifically said, "Now, I hope that whichever party wins the election, this project will go ahead." And I think that he was making a bit of a reference to the fact there has been a bit of anti-Cuban sniping among certain quarters, but I don't think that this is widely supported by Timorese. I think that it comes more from the US Embassy and maybe some elements in the Catholic Church, and that generally speaking there is widespread support among all political parties for the fact that the Cubans have built a medical school in Dili, that there are 300 Timorese studying medicine in Cuba, and that there are Cuban doctors working out in rural areas where previously there were none. So that I think it would be quite difficult for any government to try to do anything about getting rid of the Cubans at this stage.
Well, that's good news at least, Helen. Thanks very much for talking to us.
No dejaremos que cierren la linda puerta que siempre ha estado abierta a la vida.